Good morning. Welcome to the services this morning at Bethel Baptist. Good to see everyone. And as we start services this morning, let's take our hymnals. Turn to hymn number 27, Blessed Redeemer. Number 66, He Ransomed Me.
Thank you.
able, stand and we'll turn to hymn number 48. Hymn number 48, New Theology. Some sickness going on, and Brother Ed still not able to be here. Sister Boisel, some that I'm forgetting, your brother can help me out here. Frank and Reba, we hope Brother Frank's doing okay. But did I cover everybody? Dan's here, Sister Mary's here. Tara and Eric.
Yeah.
Tara and Eric, want to remember them and their little ones. The next fellowship meeting is the 26th of this month at 7 p.m. at Grace Baptist. They're off Mount Zion Road, and there's a Bible conference at King's Addition Baptist Church, April 2nd. And how many speakers will there be?
I haven't got a program yet.
But Brother Jim will be speaking April 2nd at King's Addition. And then the next prayer breakfast is April 9th at 9 a.m. at Grace Baptist. Now let's remember the folks on the prayer list. My immediate director, stepdad, got to come home. They appreciate the prayers. They thought the next step would be the ventilator, but he was able to do a little better. Got to come home, talk with Mark Hiles this morning. His dizziness and lightheadedness is getting better, where he fell and fractured his skull. Back, it's been, I think, a month now. Then the Otis family, want to remember them, lost a child. And that's someone Noah knows, correct? Mm-hmm. He goes to school.
At Taylor University.
Taylor University. But let's, Rick Scroggins, my brother-in-law, will have surgery April 6th, I believe, to cut the cancer out of his lung. I'm going to take the top lobe. So if you remember that in prayer, Brother Ellis is recovering. Talked to Brother Casey the other day, and he's recovering, but it's a slow process. So want to remember these folks, want to remember others on a prayer list that we may not mention every week from time to time. But we do want to remember Brother Ray, Sister Amy, Thomas, and Brother Ed, and others who aren't here. But it's good to see everyone that is here. And just remember Brother Jim as he brings the message this morning. And, Brother John, do you have a special this morning? No, okay. So we'll sing one more song after we go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll ask Brother David if he would to lead us.
Dear Lord, we come before you at this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all the things that you do for us and how you take care of us, how you watch over us, how you love us, dear Lord. We thank you. We ask, Lord, that you do be with those on the prayer list, each and every one. We know, dear Lord, that you can take care of all these things. It's just a thought.
Yes.
We know that you can heal all things. We thank you for that. We ask that you just give us strength when we're sick and away from the church, dear Lord, those that ain't here, that you just be with us and watch over us. We pray, dear Lord, that you be with the pastor, Brother Jim, and our music player, dear Lord, that you just be with them and watch over them. Lord, that you give Brother Jim the words to say this day that we may see you more clearly, dear
yes.
Lord. We ask that you go with us and watch over us, do use us, and all the people that we meet each day that we might be able to tell them about you and the hope that we have.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that just be with all the true churches around, speak thy true word, watch over them, and lead and guide them direct there. And we pray for this country that you would just bring us back.
Yes.
That you would help us to put you first.
Yeah.
That you would have good, sound leadership. We ask these things from you, dear Lord. We ask all these things. Ask forgiveness for our sins and the times that we come short. All these things we ask in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now let's turn to hymn number 147. 147, Saved by Grace.
With an apple of the
Thank you for your singing. Thank you, brother. Amen. If you turn your Bibles this morning to 1st of Romans, or you can go there, and then to the book of Habakkuk. I'll give you time to find that. Habakkuk. Brother Ellis is recovering somewhat. He asked me to fill in for him this evening at 6 o'clock. I'll be preaching there at Grace Baptist. And I said, ask if the church okay with that. He says, I won't announce it yet. So, never know. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything. It may get out. Thanks for your prayers for Brother Ellis, and praise will recover. Brother Ron's not feeling well, and so Brother Ellis had to get someone to fill in for him this morning. Brother Ron was going to do it, Ron Crisp, and then he's not doing well, and so Brother Ellis asked me to fill in this evening. So there's not very many of us left. That's old preacher. So getting down to the bottom of the barrel when they're scraping me out. So Habakkuk chapter 1. May not have enough time today to do all this, but I think it would do us well to go ahead and read these couple readings here this morning to kind of, it's a very important subject, I believe, that you'll find in Romans 1:17, the Word of God says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, says the burden of which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Punishment, we see that he says, speaks here concerning the Chaldeans. He says in verse 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not there. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of them. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. And they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind. They shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings. And the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend him, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things
that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle and catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning, and God bless it into our hearts and our understanding. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Also, if you want to mark it down, it would be good to read the 73rd Psalm, at least the first, probably the first 24 verses or so, the 28 verses in Psalm 73. I won't take time to do it. It more or less gives the same complaint here. In chapter 1 of Romans, we want to go back to our text, and we're going to get our text from verse 17, but I want to begin in verse 14 of Romans chapter 1. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You'll find my message there from Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. God's people in this world are ones that live by faith. And that is trusting God, trusting Jesus Christ, believing his word. Amen. And there's always been the case. It's always been true that it shall continue to be true. Trusting Christ as our Savior, we trust him as our Lord, and we live by faith in him. One old songwriter captured it very well in his hymn. He says, 'Tis faith supports my feeble soul in times of deep distress. When storms arise and billows roll, great God, I trust thy grace. Thy powerful arm still bears me up, whatever griefs befall. Thou art my life, my joy, my hope, and thou my all in all. Bereft of friends, beset with foes, with dangers all around, to thee I all my fears disclose, in thee my help is found. In every word, in every strait, to thee alone I fly. When other comforters depart, thou art forever nigh. So we have here a very good lesson, I believe, this morning to consider that the just shall live by faith. And the text in this is found, this verbiage, this word is found in four places where the statement, the just shall live by faith, is found. And I want to look at those four places. And as we began, we read Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, the just shall live by his faith. The quotation that's given in Romans chapter 1 and in Galatians chapter 3 and in Hebrews must be understood in the light of this Old Testament prophecy, Habakkuk's prophecy, and must be understood in light of that. And then Habakkuk's prophecy must be understood in the light of what is written here in the New Testament. So both Habakkuk and Paul, under the inspiration of God, they're talking about God's salvation. They're talking about the entirety of the of God's salvation, from beginning to end. There is no end, but the entirety of God's salvation. We experience it by faith, and when they use the statement, the just shall live by faith, the Spirit of God is telling us here, and throughout the scripture, he teaches us that faith is the distinctive principle of the believer's life. That is something that is distinctive and complementary to every believer. By faith, we embrace our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We live upon him. And in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the prophet cried out beneath a very heavy burden. He said, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou thou wilt not hear. Why don't you show me, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? And then in chapter 1 there, verse 13 through 17, he asked the Lord to explain to him why he would choose to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. His question is, how is it that you, O Lord God, you, a God who's of pure eyes, you can't even look upon iniquity, how is it you will execute your wrath upon Judah by a people that are even worse than they? These words are not some question of a rebel. These words were not from a reprobate unbeliever, but the questions of a faithful man and a man that was perplexed. He was confused by God's providential works. And we might not be honest enough to put them into verbal expressions, but aren't the same questions being asked today? Don't we ask the same questions? God, why do you allow such evil to go on in this world? We may not say it aloud. We're taught not to question God. But if we're honest, don't these things that are going on in the world today frequently disturb you? I know they do me. And Habakkuk's question reminds me of David's great struggle in Psalm 73. See, I'm not going to go there and take time to read all that, but that same psalm asks the question, why do the heathen prosper? And why are the righteous always being put down? You know, God's answer is very clear. We must admit that we have struggled with that same question that Habakkuk raised and the psalmist raised. The earth is filled with glaring iniquity. It just seems like things are growing worse and worse. And it does seem like the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer. And many times after raising these questions, Habakkuk, he resolved just to wait for God to answer. I'll go on my watchtower and I'll wait. You know, we would be wise to do the same and to lay that answer to heart. So in chapter 2, Habakkuk stands upon his watchtower. He awaits God's answer, and the Lord gives it to him in a vision. He does not tell us what he saw, but it must be assumed that the rest of that prophecy, if you would like to read it, is a result of the vision that God gave him. I say that because God commanded him to write it down, to make it plain, verses 2 and 3. And that the declaration of God's vision was first and foremost a word of instruction and a word of reproof and also of assurance to Habakkuk and to us there in verse 4. He says there in chapter 2 and verse 4, He says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So that answer should be something that is of consolation to us. And the fact is that the instruction of it, and we need to hear it and bear the reproof and rejoice in the assurance that the just shall live by his faith. The first thing we learn is that God is running things in this world right on schedule. There's nothing in this world that is outside of God's control. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Habakkuk chapter 2. And not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. See, our time and God's time are not measured by the same clock. Israel offered sacrifices for centuries, pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Anticipation of the fact that God would send his Son. Isaiah talked about it. A son is given, a child is born, a son is given, and told how that he would cover our sins. Isaiah 53. And they knew by the prophets and by the teaching of God that one would come and as a sacrifice by whom sin would be put away. All the blood that flowed out of those animal sacrifices pointed to that perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And then in unbelief, the Jews, they fell into idolatry. They were cast off by God. They refused to live by faith. They refused to believe God. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Romans chapter 9 through the first part of chapter 10, Paul goes through that. And he says, going about to establish their own righteousness, he said, my brethren, according to the flesh, said they refused to submit to the righteousness of God, never realizing that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, because the just shall live by faith. But they refused to believe, and they perished in their sins until the time of the Gentiles be full, and then he'll return to them. Yet when the fullness of time was come, the Bible says, Paul taught under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Galatians chapter 4. So you can count on it. No one, that not one thing that's willed or purposed or predestined or promised, whatever word you want to use, by God will fail to be accomplished. Not one word. And it will be accomplished in exactly the way and at the precise time that God has ordained. 1,000 years in the sight of God are as a day, and a day is 1,000 years to God. He never gets in a hurry, but he is never late. This is God's answer to all Habakkuk's question. And it's his answer to our own questions as well. The just shall live by his faith. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, this great statement made by God to Habakkuk, it's repeated 3 more times in the New Testament, and all 3 times by inspiration, the Apostle Paul. Each place described a specific aspect of Jesus Christ's all-sufficient, infallibly effectual work on behalf of his people. And that as he is our surety and as our substitute. You understand? And I want to look at those 3 New Testament references And then we'll come back. Maybe we have time to Habakkuk. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where we're studying this morning, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul quoting the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. So the first New Testament quotation of Habakkuk is found there in the 17th verse. And what does it follow? It follows Paul's statement, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Because he says, "For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, as it was prophesied in Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith." In Romans, Paul is standing, as it were, upon the threshold of this great epistle, an epistle of a letter that is primarily concerned, probably many subjects, but mainly justification, in which he shows us how sinners are made righteous, how we as born in sin, we who are sinners by nature, how we become righteous and how we become just and sinless before God, not by works, but by grace. In the book of God, we're given an inspired record of his wondrous work, the work of redemption by Christ, the record of redemption accomplished by the righteousness and the blood of his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith believes God's witness. And it says, amen, he's done that. And he did that for me. That's what faith does. It's an amen, so be it, to the testimony of God concerning his son. And believing the record that God has given concerning his son. Believing God as we receive forgiveness, free and unconditional, irrevocable and eternal justification. Faith does not make us righteous. Christ did all that upon the cross. Faith receives the atonement and righteousness brought in by that atonement. Well, Romans chapter 5, since we're close by. Verse 11. He says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Simple enough. By whom now we receive the atonement. So like our brother Abel, believing God and the offering of God, the blood of his own son, dependent upon that, dependent upon his righteousness, we are righteous in the eyes of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. You all probably already know it, but let's read it anyway. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which," listen, "he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." He spoke to us just this morning about the righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his life. And then in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul uses this same word. Galatians 3 and verse 11, he says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith." So he uses that same verbiage. It's evident that we're not justified by the law, but by faith. clearly Paul, his teaching here in Romans 1 and is an undeniable here in Galatians 3 and in Romans 1. It's an undeniable declaration that justification can be obtained from God only by faith in Christ without the deeds of the law. We were justified before the law was given, actually. And just as before they were God's elect, before the law was given, were justified, just as we are today. Even before the Ten Commandments came down from the mount. By grace, through faith, trusting Christ, Abel, Noah, Job, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, even Moses and Aaron trusted that Christ had paid their sin debt as they looked forward to that promised sacrifice it would make, just as we look back today upon what Christ did there upon Calvary. Believing God's revelation concerning his Son, they obtained justification by faith in him. So since the law had not yet been given, it is not possible that obedience to the law had anything to do with them being justified. Many were justified during the legal dispensation, but no one was justified by his obedience to the law. Even in that day, the law was not yet given to justify, but to condemn, and not ever been given to save. It was always given to condemn, that we might realize that we're sinners and we can't keep that law. The law never made anyone holy, except ceremonially, maybe, typically, in a typical way, like a type of obedience. But the law's only purpose was to point us to Christ. It shut us up to faith in him alone for redemption, for righteousness, and for grace. All the types and commandments of the law were given to reveal both our need of Christ as our substitute and the blessed efficacy or complete efficient work of his sin atoning sacrifice. As he died there upon Calvary, he said, "It is finished. Finished. I've done the work. I've paid the debt, the sin debt of those that you gave me." So it's written, "The just shall live by faith." And Paul continues in verse 12 that the law is not of faith. There in Galatians 3, verse 12. And then let me remind you one other thing that Paul here quotes by divine inspiration, and that by the prophet Habakkuk. In chapter 2 of that prophecy, in verse 4, "The just shall live by faith," his faith. It must have been one of Paul's favorite passages. He quoted Habakkuk's words three times in his letters. And as I said, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and back in Hebrews, I believe Paul perhaps wrote it, or someone quoted besides Paul, but a lot of things point to the fact that Paul had a hand in it in chapter 10, verse 38. So the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of these words four times in Holy Scripture certainly implies that there is much in them that we need to learn and remember. If we carefully read the context from which this quotation is taken, and the context in which Paul was inspired of God to use it, it would become obvious that the Holy Spirit's intent is to teach us that as we experience justification by faith in Christ, we also experience sanctification by faith in him. And that is what Paul is teaching in the entire chapter of Galatians, in the entire third chapter, about sanctification. That faith by which we live is a gift and operation of God's grace in us. It's not native to us. It doesn't come to us naturally. But it's a gift of God. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no... So you understand, it's a blessing of faith. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Colossians 1, 12 tells us the same thing. The operation of faith in the heart, it produces love. It produces, and that love produces obedience. If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. So these are gifts of grace, and they're not the cause of life before God. These great gifts that he gives us, the gifts of the Spirit, that doesn't cause us to live, but it is the fruit of our life in God, in Christ, being in Christ. That fruit is produced through faith in Christ. That is a gift of God. These things do not produce righteousness, but they flow from the righteousness of Christ. In the spring, it's coming up, believe it or not, as cold as it was this morning, it's going to be spring before long. We'll feast our eyes upon the beautiful roses and the flowers, and they'll be blooming around our homes with fragrance filling the air. But no one could ever imagine that the flowers cause the plants to live. But the blooms, the fragrance flows from the plant through its life. And our life is in Christ. It's the same with us as believers. It is the grace of God that gives us life, and the life we live in faith, righteousness, sanctification, it's a fruit of his grace. Love for and obedience to Christ are fruits of grace, not the cause. Neither, they don't give life or maintain life, because they're a result of life that is given us. We're made new creatures. We're born again. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the just shall live by faith. So here he's saying much the same thing as he wrote in Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have received Christ the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you receive him, walk in him. And as we receive Christ, the Galatians, listen, they were being tempted by false preachers. They were overrun with Judaizing legalists. That, you know, you need to trust Christ, but to keep saved, you got to do this. To forsake Christ and the grace of God, they were tempted to do this. Paul told them in chapter 5, he says, stand fast therefore in Galatians 5, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised. He was trying to, he said, I'm surprised you're so soon removed from the gospel. These false teachers tried to persuade them that having been saved by grace and justified by grace, they have to keep themselves saved and make themselves perfect. They must sanctify themselves by their works. One of the worst arguments I ever got into with a guy. I was young and didn't have a lot of restraint. And we were talking. He was a Nazarene or something, I think. And he said, you know, the main thing is getting saved and staying saved. I went off on him. I mean, I said, we don't have anything to do with that. Anyway, I won't go into that argument. He was an old neighbor of mine. Maybe Katie remembers it. She probably don't. Anyway, it was back when we lived back on Pond Creek, way back 100 years ago. The main thing is getting saved and staying saved, like it was up to us. So Paul's not confusing justification. These teachers tried to persuade them that they must now keep themselves and work to sanctify themselves. And Paul's not confusing justification and sanctification, but he's clarifying these things. So the context of of Galatians 3, the first 10 verses, addressing the matter of sanctification. And he's telling us that both justification and sanctification are found in Christ, that both are received by trusting Christ, both are works of grace received by faith. He says, if you could make yourself perfect by works, then you could justify yourself by your works, but that is evidently impossible. That's what he's saying. For the just shall live by faith. Your life is one of faith. Paul's taking the believer's walk of life in this world just as we are saved by faith. And verse 11 tells how we continue in that life of faith. Oh, he said, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? So we understand what Paul is speaking of here. He said in chapter 3, verse 10, for as many are above the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law inside of God is evident, because the just shall live by faith. You continue under the same grace that saved you. You're set apart to work and to walk with Christ. And then in the next passage, the last one, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, in verse 38, we see the words of Habakkuk again. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So here the Spirit is talking about perseverance and the assurance of it. Verse 37, he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So when the night's the darkest, the faith pierces the darkness, and seeing the light of God's promise and grace in Christ, we refuse to quit. And when the faith embraces, it acclaims Christ and it clings to him as a light in a very dark place, as Brother John brought out the other evening. So back to the book of Habakkuk, the prophet of God told us that judgment was coming. He said, every proud rebel shall be destroyed. But even in the midst of that providential calamity of divine judgment in time, and when the great final day of wrath shall come, those who live by faith and have their eyes upon the one who is the anchor of their soul, knowing that he is their his holy and in his holy temple, they shall persevere. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 20. As the waters cover the sea, the Lord is in his holy temple, that the earth keeps silence before him. So certainly, in Habakkuk, he's talking about that last day when judgment is over and God makes all things new. It is equally certain that this is talking about also this gospel age, in which the gospel of God's grace, his sovereign grace, and the glory in Christ is spread over all the earth. Even as God destroys the nations by the great whore and the false religion of Babylon, still his people live in faith, and they walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. So there's more, though. If you have in a marginal translation in your Bibles, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, might be translated, the earth shall be filled by knowing the glory of the Lord. So that is to say, we who believe God, who live by faith, knowing the glory of God in Christ, we see the fullness of God's purpose, and we see his purpose working out, that all things, as Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I'll be done soon. So even when God marches through the earth in wrath with his sword drawn, he is riding upon the chariots of salvation. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 8 tells us that he goes forth for the salvation of his people by Christ his anointed. Chapter 3 verse 12 through 13. So we are justified by faith. We walk by faith. We will be delivered by faith. This is the vision that God gave the prophet of old. Habakkuk declares very clearly God is working out his eternal purpose. And for grace, for the salvation of his people, and in wrath he does remember mercy. He is making himself known. He's persevering, he's preserving his church, his churches, his kingdom, and blessed be his holy name. In consideration of all these things, the Holy Spirit tells us four times, the just shall live by faith. So do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting him? Do you know that he paid your sin debt? I pray you do this morning. If you've come to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then confess and follow him. Make it known to us that we might rejoice with you. Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in a closing hymn?
Number 126.
126. Let's stand. Let's say a couple of verses. 126.
First and last verse. Sinners Jesus will receive, send this word of grace to all, live the heavenly path for thee, all who labor, all who fall, sing it over and over again, Christ receiving the sinful man, make the message clear and plain, Christ receiving the sinful man, Christ receiving the sinful man, even me.
Bless you for being here this morning. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Tim, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you showed mercy unto your people, that you have saved us by the blood of your Son and give his life for us. We pray for each one here, whatever the need may be, that you may be willing to meet it. And we also ask, Lord, that not our will be done, but thine alone. Help us to be watchful, be ready for your return. Help us to give us more of your faith that we may be better servants for thee, to speak the truth in season and out of season. We thank you for the messages of this day from Brother John and Brother Jim. Thank you for each one that's here. We pray for those who are away, who weren't able to be here today, that you bring them back at the appointed time. For being one here lost and doesn't know you as their Savior, we bring them to you. We thank you so much for your love towards us through Jesus Christ. ask that you would continue to bless and lead and guide and direct us here at Bethel Baptist. As we go to eat our lunch, I ask that you would bless the food that you provided for us. May we return and hear the message this afternoon. Forgive us for our sins, for which in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.